Good morning, everybody, and welcome again to a beautiful day on the Mid-North Coast. Today at our church, we're going to take part in the Lord's Supper. When we do that, we should always take the opportunity to reflect deeply on the life and work of Jesus. You see, real Christianity is all about Jesus and really not much else. So for the next few moments here, I want to dig deeply into the life of Jesus. And I want to take a good close look at how he performed a very, very important task. I'm going to look at how he chose his 12 followers that through his teaching and his presence would change the world. But first, let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've allowed us to have. Thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we have another opportunity to look deeply into the life of Jesus and those who followed him. Lord, we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that just before Jesus chose his disciples, he went off into the bush all night long to spend time with the Heavenly Father. This was an important thing he was going to do. As I said before, he was going to choose 12 men to change the world. And through them, his message would come to us. It's pretty important. So in the morning, he gathered all of his disciples together and he called 12 of them to be witnesses of his life. That was their primary job. Take a close look at that. Early on in Christianity, it's clear that the entirety of Christianity is to be a personal witness for Jesus Christ. That should challenge every one of us. You see, it's not about religious traditions that so often are just carried out in routine. It's not becoming a political activist for some cause or another. It's not about getting academic degrees, one on top of another. Christianity is all about being a personal witness for Jesus. That's what these guys were to do. So who were these 12 men? Well, let's look closer. First, Peter, a simple fisherman. He was very outspoken and very well known for putting his foot in his mouth. But he knew how to work, as fishermen did. Andrew, this man is Peter's brother. He was a follower of John the Baptist, but he had sense enough to, when he saw Jesus, to start following him. James and John, these were brothers. They were also fishermen, and they worked for their father. And Jesus called them sons of thunder, so I would suspect that they had a fiery personality. Philip, a true follower of Jesus, one of the first to give his life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Bartholomew, we don't know much about him. Most of his stories are lost. Matthew was a tax collector, and in his day he was one of the most hated people in the culture. But Jesus reached out to this hated man, and Matthew followed Jesus. We need to keep that in mind, folks. Thomas, we know Thomas is a skeptic. He had to see stuff before he would believe it. James, the son of Alphaeus, wasn't the brother of Jesus. And Simon, he was a zealot. I guess you would call him a political activist. But we didn't see him doing that anymore after Jesus called him. Thaddeus, Luke called this man Jude, the son of James. And then Judas Iscariot, and we all know he is the man who betrayed Jesus. But Jesus didn't kick him out of the 12. But he did go out and commit suicide. So there they are. Now we've looked at the 12 men that were supposed to be witnesses for Jesus. We're going to look a little closer at two of them, Peter and John, and see how they turned out. So after Jesus returned to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit and started the church, Peter and John got to work preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. And there was one time that they saw a man who couldn't walk, and he lay daily at the temple begging. So this time, he approached Peter and John, and listen to how Peter responds in Acts chapter 3. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. So he was expecting alms or some money or something. Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by his hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk, and entering the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. What a magnificent miracle. And I bet he was walking and leaping and praising God, because this man had been lame. He couldn't walk from birth, and now he's jumping up and walking. And wow, everybody would have been watching. What in the world is going on? You see, Peter and John had the power of Jesus with them. But let's look a little bit closer. Later, Peter and John were arrested for teaching in the name of Jesus and causing a disturbance among the people. I guess probably preaching the gospel of Jesus would cause a disturbance. Well, you know, think about that. They arrested them, put them in prison. Now they're awaiting trial. The next day, after all the dignitaries and the religious robes show up, Peter and John were brought in to interrogate them. And they asked Peter and John what power or name that they were using for the miracles in their teaching. So Peter, as outspoken as he was, he seizes the moment. He gives them a little bit of a Jewish history lesson, and then he goes for the punch. Acts 4, verse 10, "Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you." One thing you can say about old Peter, he's pretty brave, he's pretty bold, and he's sticking to his message, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. Then Peter decides to take it a step further. Verse number 12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." What Peter preached on that day is the same message that we preach today. Jesus is the way. He's the door. Jesus said, "No man comes to God except through him." So Peter preached that. We preach that. If you want to get to God, you got to go through Jesus. But when the people that were listening to John and Peter saw how powerful and bold these two guys were, they began to wonder, who are these people? And then they discovered in verse 13, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and common men, they were astonished. They were blown away. These guys were untrained. They didn't have the degrees. And they went on to say, and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. That's what set them apart. Peter and John were powerful and bold, but they were uneducated and common. Nothing special about them, except they had been with Jesus. No religious training, no political power, no advanced degrees or exceptional religious practices. Only one thing set them apart is they had been with Jesus. Let that sink in. That is so important. That is the key to the Christian life, spending time with Jesus. And you wonder, what does that have to do with me? You and I can be with Jesus anytime we choose to be. We can be with Jesus in his word. We can be with Jesus in the prayer closet. We can be with Jesus throughout today if we'll choose to keep him in our thoughts. I believe the key to the successful and powerful Christian life is to spend time with Jesus. There's too many Christians walking around powerless and weak, and I bet you could discover that they do not spend time with Jesus. So my question is, what will we do? Because of what we heard today, what will we do? Father, I thank you for the day you've allowed us to have. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for Peter and John that preached so boldly the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And through them, you changed the world. Now, Father, help us to learn the most essential part about the Christian life is to spend time with Jesus. Help us to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.